This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:02 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down south. Let's check in with Captain Rihanna Dela Cruz this morning, see what she's up to. Rihanna, good morning. What's going on down there?
Good morning, Mickey. How are you doing this morning?
Couldn't be better. Thanks for even asking. How about you?
I'm doing all right. Hope you had a wonderful and safe 4th of July.
Yeah, it was going real well to those floods in the hill country, and then, man, that just kind of...
You know, that's...
What a shocker.
It's been weighing on me for the past, 48 hours since
I know, it's been eating
started.
On me, too. I just can't get away from it. It just...
It's
so sad.
I've been glued.
All those little girls and...
I know it. I held my daughter extra tightly last night and the night before, just thinking about all the mothers and fathers that weren't able to hold their children two nights. Watching that sunset last night was emotional, thinking about the 42 folks that didn't get to go home.
It's up to 51 or 52 now.
Gosh.
That's what I saw earlier.
Gosh. Yeah, what a shame.
Sad.
Born and raised in the hill country, I hold the hill country so close to my heart. That's considered home, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. Spent a lot of time in the hill country growing up as a kid, and of course, matter of fact, I was planning a Frio River trip this coming week, and I just didn't do it, and there was a reason. There's a reason for everything, you know, that
right.
Things happen. But it's watching this. It's hard to get away from the TV. Matter of fact, it's on right now on Chris 6 News. It's hard to get away from it. But there's this like urgency that I feel to be there. You know, I'm like, what can I do? Like, you know, I feel like I need to be there, helping and boots on the ground and,
yeah.
And, but, there are quite a few volunteers in that area. I've been, of course, keeping update. There's a lot of
first responders are doing an incredible job, man.
Yes, they are.
It's probably better for people like us to stay out of their way, let them do their thing, and donate through, you know, they've got avenues. You can go on the internet and donate if you want to donate for supplies.
There's a relief.
There's a relief fund.
Also, the Salvation Army, that's the one that I donated through. You can find them online. And there's a Salvation Army location there in Kerrville. They're taking all kinds of donations, clothing, children's clothing, little necessities like toiletries and all kinds of basic items. So there's other ways that we can help without physically being there. And so there's different avenues, like you said, that we can help the cause. But yeah, it's you can tell my voice. It's been a somber and emotional 4th of July. I don't ever recall a 4th of July that's been like this.
Well, it started off with a bang, you know. Everybody was all patriotic and in good mood and all that, and then that hit, and it just kind of tore the guts out of everybody.
It did. I know.
It's close to home. I mean, they're
very, very,
Texas brothers and sisters.
Yep. You know, there's quite a few folks that I know that live in that area, and matter of fact, I was just there last year, and really beautiful town. Sometimes I'll just drive through just because of the scenic drive. And
I love driving through the hill country.
Oh gosh, it's just so beautiful. And so I hold those areas close to my heart.
Sure.
And whenever something like this happens, it was just like in, you know, Harvey back in 2017 when that happened. You know, I hold Rockport pretty close to my heart too. And so whenever something catastrophic like this happens, mentally, emotionally, it's it takes a toll on you for a little while. And of course, time can heal a lot of things, and it's going to take quite a few months or even years to recuperate that little area. I mean, I believe it was 109,000 cubic feet per second is what was running through the Guadalupe River. From 0 feet to 29 in a matter of 2 hours, 4 hours, 2 to 4 hours is just insane. Nobody saw it coming.
The river raised like 27 feet in 45 minutes or something. I mean, that's a wall of water. That's crazy.
Yes. Yep. I mean, it just downpoured and poured and poured and poured, and nobody saw it coming. And one thing for sure is that, you know, when it happens during the day, you can kind of see it. But at nighttime, at 4
everybody's
o'clock in the
asleep.
Morning,
yeah.
Everybody's out. Sometimes phones are on do not disturb. Sometimes phones are off. Sometimes phones are on silent. You know, I mean, these little national weather alerts that we get on our phones, sometimes I don't even look at them. You know, I'll get them on my phone, or I'll get you know, an alert that somebody's been kidnapped in the area. And matter of fact, I turn it off because it scares my daughter. She didn't like that sound, so I turned it off for her. So
yeah.
I don't even get them. Now, for those folks that get those pretty, you know, of course, they would go off of my phone pretty frequently, so that's why I turned it off. But for those folks that really, really don't pay attention to that, and of course, further up there in the hill country, they've been getting some rain. And of course, you know, like the county sheriff said over there, that's the most dangerous river valley in the United States.
It is.
And when they get flash flood warnings all the time.
Yep.
You know, they didn't, it's called flash flooding for a reason. It happens really quickly.
Well, they didn't expect to get this these big downpours like this.
I mean, no, nobody did.
Even the weather people weren't. They were just astonished by what happened.
Yep, it parked and it circulated and it dumped. It reminded me of Hurricane Harvey.
Yeah, what it did to us when it moved up here and sat on top of us.
Yep, I mean, that's exactly
like
what it
reminded
me of.
We had 53 inches, and then over at Beaumont and Port Arthur, just east of me, they got 60 and 70 inches off of that.
Gosh, yep. Just sat and dumped for a very short time. That's the kicker right there is in a short time, because that water, especially if it's already saturated and you've already been receiving rain, that water has nowhere to go.
Yeah. Well, and it's such rocky terrain up there, too. I mean, it just runs off. It's going to run into the valley.
Yep. And, of course, those cracks and crevices, and it just seeps right in there, and it all collects in one area, and then you have that big wall of water.
And then the aftermath, them searching, you know, all the debris. I mean, look at the uprooted trees and just debris by just tons of it everywhere. It's crazy, man.
Yeah. The thing that shocks me when I see it, it's just amazing how powerful Mother Nature is. When you see those trees uprooted with a whole root connected to it, the whole
root system. No bigger force in nature than water, man.
Gosh, just ripping through. I mean, if you look at a lot of historic events that have happened and historic floods that have happened in our lifespan, and you look at all these canyons and all the little ripples and all the rips through these canyon lakes and whatnot, that's water that creates those rips through the rocks and the canyons. And so they're here at the rivers, you know, that run through our hill country. That amount of water, that vast amount of water, just rips through all those little canyons. It's going to create some probably create some new alleyways and who knows what, but it is amazing that watching this happen has been it's been shocking to see.
It's a reminder
that Mother Nature is powerful, and you don't mess with her.
No.
when she gives you a warning sign, you better move out of her way. And that it's just a reminder of who really is in control, and it's big man upstairs, and that's just the way it goes. And it's been interesting and devastating to watch. But on to the better.
let me knock this break out. We'll talk about a little bit about fishing in this next segment. Hang on, I'll be right back at you, Rihanna. Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, folks, if you're looking for a great place to shop for great A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken, have all of your processing done, nothing beats the Belleville Meat Market. They're easy to find right in downtown Belleville. Look for the big white sign, their meat market and processing facility are right next door to one another. They have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Plus, they have bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan sausage, smoked sausage, along with homemade hot dogs, original or with cheddar cheese, hamburger patties, stuffed pork tenderloins, stuffed peppers, stuffed mushrooms. Let the Belleville Meat Market be your backyard barbecue block party headquarters. And check out their new Chuck Wagon patties, half-pound beef patties, seasoned and loaded with cheddar cheese. And check out their grab-and-go snacking products like beef jerky and turkey jerky, dry sausage, and their dry sticks. They're really good. And their wild game processing facility, it's open year-round. Check out their new sausage recipe that's available. It's really good. You got to try it. And the Belleville's been celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 6:18. All right, Rihanna, we are back.
All righty. Yeah, let's get on a little bit more happier topic. The trout bite this week was pretty good for us here in Baffin Bay. You know, we had this low pressure that lingered over us. Of course, that was the only thing that we had troubles with. We were dodging storms. I dodged storms, I know, 3 days in a row where I just missed them by, you know, a couple of minutes. And of course, they were all coming from the southeast, building up kind of out in the Gulf and coming, moving northwest, and they were moving very, very fast. Some of them didn't have any lightning in them. Some of them did, but you could always see, you could see them coming and watch them from afar and watch that there's no lightning. They were moving really quick. One of them, we were pretty far out. We were on a good bite. And I said, let's just sit this one out. It was pretty early in the day, too, like maybe, I want to say it was about 11 o'clock. And so I had some really good anglers with me, and they're just as diehard as I am. They'll stay out there in any conditions as long as it's not lightning. I said, there doesn't look like there's any lightning. And we checked the forecast, and there wasn't any. I said, let's just let this bypass us, and we'll sit here at the boat and have us a snack. And sure enough, it did, and it passed us really quickly. But the majority of these bigger trout bites that we've been getting were right before one of those little systems moved through, right before it got to us, right before the barometer started dropping. That was when we would get the majority of our bigger trout bites.
Right.
It happened on Sunday, it happened on Monday, and it happened on Tuesday. Sunday, my client caught a 7. On Monday, I caught a 7. On Tuesday, I caught 2 6s, and they were all right before the barometer started to drop.
Yeah.
And then also another thing we're seeing too. I mean, most of these trout are still pretty hefty. They're holding their weight. And in between catching them, we're also catching a lot of male trout. And it's funny, every time I get into a little pod of some smaller croaking males, I'm like, there's, we're going to hook into a female.
Big mama's lurking.
She's around.
You bet.
Yep. And so that's been the trend. Of course, this last week, and then, I mean, you know what, another thing too, Mickey, is that with all this little low pressure that we've been having, the rainfall, little scattered thunderstorms here and there, it's been keeping our air temperatures cooler and our water temperatures cooler. And so right now we're seeing a lot of menhaden. There's a lot of menhaden in our bay right now. We haven't had that big menhaden kill because it hasn't been super hot now. And I guarantee you it's coming. It usually gets super hot late July, early August, mid-August, where you get
that's
no
when we get
wind.
Our shad kills up here is, you know, like mid to late August, early September, when it's, you know, real calm and the water temps get real hot. And, you know, they all
it's
school
coming.
Up and deplete their own oxygen. They kill themselves, basically.
I mean,
there's so many of them. I mean, we see schools of shad sometimes. It'll be almost an acre big. And they're all together, and they just start dying off. It's crazy.
Yeah. They don't give themselves enough room.
No.
Enough. It's funny how they do that. I've seen them do that a couple times here in Baffin, too. But right now, they're real spread out. You're seeing them jump out of the water, and they're up. Right now, of course, when you get this really low pressure, it seems like the bite kind of moves up a little bit more shallow. You can find those trout way up skinny. And of course, when the barometer starts to rise, they kind of pull back out a little bit deeper. But the majority of these fish, on Sunday, Monday, the 2 7s that we caught, it's a 7-pounder on each day. We were in below knee deep water, so In those areas, too, it was pretty much hard-packed sand. In the area I caught my fish in, there was a whole bunch of nothingness. And I get some clients that are like, how do you know? You know, there's just a whole bunch of nothingness here. There's no structure. I said, well, the bait is a structure. There's mullet and menhaden and bigger mullet jumping out everywhere. And that's the only reason why I gave that area a chance, because that bait's there. They're going to be there. And sure enough, it was one of the last areas, you know, way here in the back of Baffin. And I told my client, her name's Barbara, and I said, every once in a while, you can pull a toad out of here. And sure enough, it wasn't like 20 feet from the boat. I stuck that 7. She was like, no kidding. I'm like, they're here. I said, if one's here, there's going to be more. And we were watching the menhaden just flash out of the water, you know, popping out of the water. Something was definitely spooking them. And of course that was during earlier in the week when the barometer was really low. We had all that low pressure, and I figured, you know, they'll go up on that, go up way shallow. They'll hug a shoreline. They'll hug a point. They'll get up. I've seen them. When that pressure gets really low, they tend to kind of go up a little bit shallower. And so that's the structure that we were focusing on them. And I'll tell you this, the bait of choice for me, I've been catching them all in this profile. So it's down south supermodel. Mm-hmm. That just seems what they've been wanting. Another lure of choice has been the double D. That's what Barb caught her 7 on. She was just banging that double D way up shallow, and that big girl came up, just grabbed it.
Devoured it.
Of course.
Awesome.
Devoured it. Yeah, little suspending twitch bait. Because they were kind of, all the bait was up on the upper column. We were hearing a lot of, you know, those slurps, those topwater slurps.
Oh, yeah, that sucking sound, man. You know it when you hear it.
You can hear
them. Flaring them gills.
Yes, yeah, you can hear it. And I was like, man, you know what? And I didn't have a double D on me or in my bag. And I said, you know, hearing those fish come up like that, seeing all this bait on the upper column, that looks like a pretty good double D bite to me.
Yeah.
And she loves throwing that. I think that's one of her favorite lures to throw. She loves throwing a double D, and that's her confidence bait. So I said, stick with it. So
that's the most important thing is the confidence in that bait, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's why I've been sticking with the down south supermodel. And of course that trout that I caught, she didn't hit it real hard at first. It was just a little tiny nibble, and then I felt it, and when I set the hook, I felt how heavy she was, and I was like, oh my goodness. And I guess before the time I set the hook, she had inhaled it a little bit more.
Right.
And so it was a fully committed eat. It was down in her gill. And so she was hooked pretty good, and she was of course coming up trying to spit it. And, I was like, oh my goodness, if this trout spits this, I'm just going to be heartbroken. I mean, we release them anyways, but just be able to take a good picture and really admire her for a little while.
CPR that booger, you know?
Right, and she kicked off beautifully. Most of these trout have they're full of fight. All of them, they're real feisty. They've got a lot of energy. They don't have that lethargic feel to them where
real
you feel
hot
like you're pulling
summertime
them
stressed out. Yeah. Feel, you know.
No, where you feel like you're pulling them through the water. They don't. They're not there yet. Now later this summer, they tend to get that way. Later in the day, they kind of just, when you set the hook and you fight them, you feel like you're just pulling them towards you. And I don't like that when they get like that. It just makes me feel wrong, you know, like I'm already putting them through too much stress. They're already stressed out, and I'm putting them through too much more. And so I don't really necessarily enjoy fighting a fish that acts like that. And we see that a lot in the wintertime, especially after a cold front. With redfish and trout, where you feel like you're just pulling a log through the water, and they're not fighting or shaking their head much. They're just kind of just kind of swimming away from you and you're pulling them back. And I don't like it when it gets like that. But these trout that we've been catching, they've been full of fight. Their bellies have been full. I caught one on, what was it, Wednesday. I caught two of them in the same exact spot, standing in the same exact spot, and I had two other really good clients with me, and we got on some really good fish. We got on a really good trout bite, and the barometer started dropping. The barometer was coming up around noontime, and then right around 11:30, 11:25, it started to drop, and that's when our bite picked up, because it was a grind. In the morning, we got on some really small trout. There was a big condensed school of little, I always say, we found the nursery. We sure did that morning. I mean, it was baby trout after baby trout. I thought, man, there's got to be some bigger ones scattered in here mixed with them, because those bigger trout will eat those smaller ones. I thought, man, this is some good big trout food here for them, but we never got on anything bigger than probably 16, 17 inches in that pot of smaller trout. So we stayed in that area for a while, and it was a grind. Barometer was rising. And so we made a move to an area, and I told one of my guys, I think he listens to the show, John Brooks. I hope you're listening, John. But I told him, I said, there's an area that I want to go to, and I think it might produce some pretty good bites. And so he said, all right, let's do it. So we went over there and made one good wade, and barometer was still rising. Sure enough, around 11:30, came around and started dropping. And I mean, it was boom, boom, boom. It was like somebody had turned on a light switch and gone on some really good trout. I caught one that was a little bit lighter colored. She had some really pretty spots. But the second one, she had, it was the most vibrant trout that I've ever caught, at least right. At that size too. But she had some really pretty yellow hue on her. Her mouth was just absolutely mustard. I mean, if you looked in her mouth, it was just a mustard mouth. Beautiful fish. You could tell that fish just lives in those grassy areas, probably eats a lot of crustaceans. I believe... Oh my goodness, it was the most gorgeous trout that I've ever seen. Real dark back. Almost had a little bit of green, dark green mixed in there too. But most of the yellow was kind of on her gills and leading up towards her mouth. Just an absolutely gorgeous specimen. Love seeing fish that have that kind of color on them. And you could tell that they just live in that. She lives in that kind of structure-based grassy areas. There's a little bit maybe more more crabs and crustaceans, and because I believe what they eat helps them get that color too. It's just like redfish, you know, you see those real copper redfish with the blue tail, the very vibrant blues, because they eat those crabs. And right now we're seeing a lot of blue crabs further out towards the mouth, of course, like Meadows, Yarborough area. Some beautiful scattered sand pockets in those areas too. Our trout bite's been phenomenal this week. And of course, leading into the weekend, I didn't want to fish the week. Thursday was my last day out there. I said, I'm just going to sit back and
a lot of cats not, took off this weekend because of the crowd, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I
let them have it, and you'll have let it all them back have it next week, you know.
Yeah, let them enjoy it. I'll stay out of y'all's way. But I don't know if you've heard about this going on right now. It's there's a company.
Yeah, that brine desalinization deal.
Seven Seas Water Corporation. Yes, they're out of Florida, and I don't have any hate against them. I mean, I'm sure they're trying to do some good things. I'm sure they are doing some good things in other areas, but they're wanting to come into Baffin Bay and make Baffin Bay a desalinization discharge location,
oh,
which which, let me tell you, I don't think is absolutely necessary. Baffin Bay has been untouched for many years. It's been doing good on its own. Mother Nature has done well with Baffin. You know, there's absolutely no need for what they're trying to do. And they're trying to basically make Baffin Bay be a lab rat to the aftermath of the brine and the chemicals and all the other stuff that's going to be dumped, that they want to dump into an enclosed bay system, which is absolutely absurd. So, you know, I, as somebody, and of course, I hope a lot of people, because one thing's for sure, Mickey, I hate talking in public. I hate public speaking, but I will do it if I feel like it's
necessary. Well, that meeting's going to be where in Kingsville on Tuesday night?
This Tuesday at 5:30 at the Courthouse Annex Law Enforcement Building at 5:30. So that's okay. The first hearing. That's the first meeting for citizens' comments. And then the second one, it's going to be July 15th. At 1201 Leopard Street in Corpus Christi. And so that's an opportunity for citizens to address the board.
Need to show up, yeah. Man. Make your voices heard.
I
know what you're going through. You ought to see what we go through up here in Galveston, as commercial as it is. It's a bad deal. I know.
Yep. And I don't want that to happen over here.
No,
Baffin Bay is this place is a true gem of the Texas
coast.
That's
the last frontier on the Texas coast all down through there. Sitting on the last gem.
And so if anybody enjoys catching these big trophy trout over here, I better see you at that meeting on Tuesday one in Corpus Christi.
Exactly.
And you know, if you like to be pulling them big monster trout out of this bay system, you better be there. And you better make your voice heard, because this here can be turned into something that we don't want.
Well, they don't have any research on it. They don't know what it's going to do.
Nothing.
And that's the whole problem with it.
Well, they want Baffin Bay to be the lab rat. That's
the guinea pig. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? For those that have a livelihood on the bay, that are guides, that make money, you know, on Baffin Bay, Baffin Bay helps provide food on the table, helps you pay bills. Y'all need to be there. That's all I can say.
Look at the tourist trade. The whole community gets off of it, too. People that come down and enjoy it.
Yep.
All right, Rihanna. Well, hey, throw your number out, and, you know, if somebody wants to book you for a trip or either call you about more info on this, they can get a hold of you. I've got to run, so throw them out a number.
My number is 361-296-5400. I've got a couple days left available the end of this month during a good moon phase. So if y'all want to get on some good trout, give me a call.
Cool deal. All right, Rihanna.
All righty, Mickey.
Always good talking to you. You have a great weekend. What's left of it?
You too, Mickey. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, see you.
Yes, sir.
All right, it's time for a break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 641 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go over to Matagorda now and check in with our good friend Captain Bink Grimes, Matagorda Sunrise Lodge. Good morning, Bink. What's up, man?
Good morning. Good morning, everybody out there.
Yeah. How in the world are you?
Man, I'm good.
You off today?
I am.
You've been busy, man.
I know it.
Been
it's a good problem to have. I don't grinding it. Yep. I'm not gonna throw rocks at that, man. You better get it while you can. When the hay's in the field, you better get it. You know,
that's it.
You never
get
know
them while they're hot, baby. Get them while they're hot.
We took you know, last couple of days off to good time to do that. So, but yeah,
well,
we fished all week.
It's dead calm everywhere now, man. I'm looking at
it. I know it.
It's The highest wind inside the bay we have right now is a southwest at 2 to 5. Everywhere else is 0 to 1. Offshore just went down to 4 to 7, so 2 feet with a period of 5 seconds, if you can believe that or not.
Yeah, it hadn't happened much this year. But, yeah, it looks like we might have a few days of that this week, maybe through Wednesday or Thursday, I believe, huh?
Yeah.
That'll be nice. It'll be nice. To
yeah, Will. I'll take it.
Something like that.
Come on with it.
We had decent weather this week. It blew a little bit more than what it said it was going to, but we made do and had a pretty good week. I didn't wade any this week. I drifted all week, but man, had a pretty good week. Really, really good days. So. In East Bay, mainly. West Bay, our tides were on the backside of that new moon, so they're going to suffer a little bit. They're not going to be as strong. So, like we said before, when you got a little weaker tide, man, you try to stay out of West Bay.
Mm-hmm.
You get a better bite in East Bay, and that's what happened. When you can, you know, when the weather allows you to, when the wind allows you to, and that's what we did. So, and you know, anytime. I mean, my game is anytime I got a chance to fish East Bay, I'm going to fish East Bay because you always got that chance of the big bite. So, but we haven't caught any, didn't catch any big ones this week. Just lots of solid 2 to 3 pounders. So I'll take that too.
Yes.
Especially, you know, the week leading up to you know, 4th of July and all that, we had a lot of families this week that took a few days off before and came down. So it was one of those, you get that a couple times a year, so you kind of got to tailor it to that. You make a lot of casts for little ones and get one on and hand it off to them and, you know, trying to elevate the odds of them catching something. But yeah, it was good. So we're gonna get back at it tomorrow and get to wade a little bit this week. It'll be nice, and throw a few top waters, and it'll be good. We've got the Olmans tournament down here this week. I believe it starts
Friday.
Yeah,
that's right. So. It's time for that already. Yeah. Man,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Sure is. I don't know how big it'll be this year. By what I've, there's still guides available. So what that mm-hmm. tells me is it's not as big as it normally is. Cause normally every guide in the country.
Yeah. There's usually a lot of guides from over here come that way, mm-hmm. you know, to run in this thing.
They do. And you're usually booked, you know, 2 or 3 months out, but, and properties too, you know, I've got all my book, but they usually book up when it's a big one. It usually books up 5 and 6 months ahead of time, and there's still some places available. So I'm not really sure how big it'll be, but those guys, we appreciate them coming down. They pump a lot of money into the economy, and then they give a lot of money back for that charity event. They give a lot of money to different resources here in Matagorda County, charitable and nonprofits and.
Good deal.
They really do well for us.
Yes, yeah, sir.
Mm-hmm. Sure do. So, went out to the marsh this week too, and man, it's just incredible how much duck food is growing in that
pristine
marsh.
Huh? Boy, I bet you're licking your chops.
I really am. You know, we'll be shooting teal, and what's the day?
Boy, that bites, we'll man. Teal. Only 9 days of teal season. Teal season's my favorite season.
Yeah, it's so
shooting them teal birds, man.
It is. So we'll have 9 days instead of 16. So we'll basically have 2 weekends.
Yeah, and, instead of three.
You know, instead of three. And it'll be good. You know, don't let the 9 day season. Yeah, you know, it's just a numbers game of how biologists and how
they figure it, you know, it's kind of like counting the snapper out in the Gulf and
right,
trout in the
exactly
bay.
Right.
It's, you know,
don't let it fool you that it's going to be a bad. It'll be spectacular. It will. But it's going to run, I guess, the 20th through the 28th. So we'll be getting after that and doing a few cast and bass, too.
Them dove birds down at Blaine's, they're already on their second hatch. They'll have a third hatch now with all this rain he's got. It's quail are just through the roof. I mean, it's just going off.
We'll expect our white wings to show up here around, I don't know, plus or minus five to 10 days around the first weekend of August, sometimes a little later, but usually they show up then.
Oh, they've invaded my area. Between the white wings and the squirrels, I can't keep my bird feeders full. All my blue jays and cardinals, and they're all depressed. They're having a fight to eat food.
And that may change, you know. It just depends on when we start getting those weak fronts in, you know, in August and late July. You know, we might see a teal or two by the end of this month. The earliest I've seen them in all my years, you know, is about July the 22nd. I saw a little group of teal probably 6 or 7 years ago coming across the intercoastal. I wasn't even looking for them. I was headed to West Bay right about sunrise, and man, I looked at my watch, July 22nd. I mean, they just, a lot of them hang around here through that last moon in May. They're coming back, you know, from South America, from Mexico, and that'll be about the last time I see them, because they'll sit on all our little ponds, in Matagorda. We got little bitty ponds here and there, little marsh ponds here and there that get fresh with rain, and they'll sit on. Shoot, they sit right behind the lodge. I got a slough right behind the lodge that when it gets rain, it grows widgeon grass all in it. Man, there's been springs when I've had two dozen blue wings just as pretty as you want to see just sit there, you know, for a good month and just dine on all that widgeon grass. But they get real pretty. Shoot, though, and it'll rain a little bit down here, and they'll be right up along the beach. When they're coming back from South America and Mexico, when they cross that gulf, they'll be so tired, they'll just land right there and start walking on the beach. It's crazy. You don't know what they are unless you're looking for them, you know. a lot of the people that time of year in April, May, they're not looking. They don't have their minds right. You know, I'm as a duck hunter, you're always looking in the air. No matter 12 months out of the year, you're looking, and it's amazing that they're sitting there walking up on the beach and walking up on the granite there on the jetty. Man, look at that. You know, that's something you just don't see very often, but a lot of times when they're making that flight, man, they ain't seen land in a while, and it's time to shut her down and rest a little bit, you know.
time to put the flaps down, man.
Let's rest a little bit. Yeah, catch your breath.
So, boy, I used to love it when I hunted on the White Ranch with Blaine and Daryl and all of them, and we had all that property down there along the intercoastal, all the way to the intercoastal, and those geese would, you know, when they start making their first flats in here, and they'd made it nonstop, and they'd see the guff and then turn around and then funnel down, and they'd hit our water level fields and sit on them, and they'd drink water and drink and drink and then just go to sleep. They were exhausted.
Yeah, every year when that first migration hits, sometimes it's the end of October, but sometimes here lately, the real big one has been that first one in November, right. And those geese and the sandhills are overshoot, and they'll get, they'll come through Matagorda County, and they'll overshoot, and they'll hit the gulf and put the brakes on and turn back around.
Spin it around, man, start funneling down.
Around. It's pretty cool. Yeah, a lot of those sandhills are doing that now. See a bunch of sandhills, so. Hopefully we're going to try to, man, we're crossing our fingers and hoping, we might get in the Gulf this week, maybe get a day or two in the surf, this week. That would be great. It would make me happy.
It'd be nice to get out there and see what you got swimming around on the beach.
You know, I had some friends that old coaching buddies that, used to live here that came down over the 4th, and they like to just throw meat in the Gulf and for big bull reds, and he threw spoons and sent me pictures of two or three speckled trout. He wasn't trying to catch them. He was they were there, you know.
Right.
And,
that's good.
It was. And it was rough, but our surf was halfway green all this week. So, but yeah, he caught him on Silver Spoons, I believe. So that tells you, you know.
Yeah, Cliff was telling me yesterday that there's some really big trout in the surf down his way. If it'll just settle out, they're right there. You know, it's been rough as a cob, but the water's been staying green, and they're catching them in that first gut early in the morning.
Yeah, I have a plan to throw a plug somewhere in there and let them gobble it up.
That'd be really nice.
That'd be really nice this week. Put a smile on my face anyway. But yeah, we ain't really got in there yet, so. Got in there one day.
Nothing better than catching them big surf trout, them tide runners, man, on top waters. That's a good fight. Man, they fight.
It is. You know, even the 16, 17, 18-inch surf trout are just,
oh, they're strong.
They're wired different, man.
They're wired way different than bay trout are.
No doubt about it. They are not at the top or, you know, more towards the top of the food chain out there like they are in the bay, you know. And, man, I'll tell you, they are. They are wired different. And so that's hopefully we'll get some of that this week. It'd be great to get all those guys out in the Oldman's tournament out and get them on the surf. It'd be good. So and we're gonna try to get out there and catch a snapper one day too. That'd be good too. It just I just don't go out there unless it's just calm. it's not worth it to me to just. To get beat up out there, you know, just not worth it. And our offshore guys have been taking a beating out there.
Well, they
you
have.
Know, if you run an offshore boat, I mean, you got to go out and take a beating if you're going to make a living. I mean, you can't go just when it's, you know, just kind of like us when it blows 20, we still go. We got places to go. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, not everybody can afford a 72 Viking to guide out of.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Yeah, that's not a very good profit scheme in this business. I think it'll be a good week. That'll be good. You know, July normally calms down. July and August, we'll get some west winds this month. I hope not, but it usually happens. We'll get west winds and our tides are going to drop some. And it already
screwy as this weather's been all year. We may return to normal like back in the old days in southeast at 5 every morning. That'd be sweet.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, my gosh.
Wouldn't that be nice? It just puts you in a better mood. It does.
Everything
smells better.
You know when you throw your boat in and hit the key, you know you're going to get them, man.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, every option in the bay is there, you know, and you've got – plan A through Z instead of
that's it. Fish
A
where
through.
You want to, man, instead of where mm-hmm. Mother Nature tells you to.
Yep. Spread out. Everybody spreads out.
Exactly.
You know, and you're not, everybody's not in a 10% of the bay. But.
All right, Bink. Well, I'm already out of time, man. It's flown by today for whatever reason. But hey, if somebody wants to come down and fish and lodge up or come down and vacation, rent some property, whatever, man. I know you can hook them up. How they get a hold
we
of you, brother?
Matagorda SunriseLodge.com, 979-241-1705.
All right,
and
buddy.
We'll have a good time.
All right, man. Well, I'll be talking to you Tuesday night.
Yes, I guess we will.
Yeah, we will. All right, bud. Well, Bink, have a good weekend, what's left of it, and pray for all our fellow Texans up there in the hill country. What a mess, man. Tragic.
What a mess. Heart goes out to them, man.
Mine too. It's heartbreaking. All right, buddy. You have a good one. Bink, always a pleasure, man.
All right, you too. Everybody have a good Sunday.
We're going to do it. See you. All right. All right, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back next Thursday morning, bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.